could no longer use it until I had some additional dental work done last year, for this past year. So, thank you, Tim, for giving me that chance. I did tell Tim this. I told him that, you know, there's a lot of skill required to play a trumpet, and part of it is lip control. And I told Tim that as I have gotten older, I'm not kissing as much and I've lost my lip control. Am I in trouble? It'll get better as I practice more, okay. All right, if you would, turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. You know, it's very important that we have an understanding of what God wants for each one of us. And he has a purpose for you. He had that purpose before you were ever conceived, when you were just a gleam in your parents' eye. And once you were born, you were on a path to fulfill that purpose. Some people fulfill it. Probably most people don't, because they're afraid to go through an open door, not knowing what might be on the other side of that door. Jeremiah the prophet shared what God wanted the people of Israel to know, particularly in this 29th chapter, verses 11 through 13. And let me read that, and we'll go from there. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts, and I would like to substitute another word which is translated in other places, plans. I know the plans that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye search for me with all your heart. Now, a lot of times we don't do that. We don't search for him with all of our heart. I want to share a biography with you of someone that you've at least heard about, some of us know. And that would be Dwight Eisenhower. In Jeremiah 29, God gives a promise of hope to his people. At that time, they were captives in Babylon, and things certainly looked bleak and dismal. But God assured them that he had not forgotten them and would not forsake them, that he still had great plans for them in the future. The promise of this verse remains a source of consolation today for all of God's people. And no matter the difficulties that they might face, what we might have to go through, a good example of how, if we will go through, God will perform the task that he needs to perform. Born in Texas in 1890, Dwight grew up in Kansas. One day in 1903, he was 13 years old. As he was running home from school, he fell and skinned his knee. 3 days later, it hurt so badly that he couldn't do his chores. He had to stay home from Sunday school and church. That evening, his leg was so badly swollen that he couldn't remove his shoe, and his parents had to cut his shoe off from him. His mother quickly went for the family physician, Dr. Conklin, and while awaiting the doctor's arrival, she bathed Dwight's knee and wiped the feverish forehead. And upon examining the knee, Dr. Conklin announced that to remove the infection, it was unlikely that the leg could be saved. That leg would have to come off in order to save Dwight's life. At this time in history, antiseptics and antibiotics were largely unknown. A simple scraper cut could turn lethal, and it had with Dwight. When the doc left the room to consult with Dwight's parents, Dwight called for his older brother, Edgar, and made him promise that he would not let them cut his leg off. When Doc returned, Ed was standing guard at the door and announced that no one was going to saw off the leg. For the next 2 days, it continued to swell. Dwight's fever climbed. He grew delirious. And the discoloration climbed up the leg toward the hip. But Ed faithfully stood guard, refusing to leave his post. The infuriated Dr. Conklin shouted, "It's murder. Nothing but a miracle can save the boy now," and angrily left the house, slamming the door. That remark hit home with the family. So Mother Ida, Father David, and Ed knelt around Dwight's bed and prayed through the night. And Dwight's four other brothers joined the vigil the next day. The swelling started to slowly subside. And eventually, the infection was finally gone from Dwight's body. Significantly, this was early and direct divine intervention in the life of young Dwight Eisenhower. Subsequently, it proved to be a blessing for all of America and the world. Had Dwight lost the leg, he could never have entered the military, and in the course of World War II, might have been different. But the course that God had planned for him was for Dwight's future was yet unknown to him. As a young man, fully recovered, he entered West Point, graduating as a commissioned Army officer at the age of 25. Dwight served as a young officer under General Douglas MacArthur in the Philippines. And when the war broke out, he was assigned to command a military training base in Louisiana with almost 500,000 soldiers. General George Marshall was so impressed with Eisenhower's abilities that he made him the liaison between American and British strategists in London. And Prime Minister Winston Churchill was so taken with Eisenhower's skills that he had him appointed as a Supreme Commander of the Allied forces in Europe. As a result of Eisenhower's leadership, particularly through bold, daring, and innovative measures such as D-Day invasion, the Nazis and their allies were crushed, and a wave of freedom swept across Europe and the world. God has a plan for you. He does. He's got a plan for you. He has something that he wants you to accomplish. Now, it may not be as great as something like Dwight Eisenhower becoming president of the United States, but what he has planned for you is just as important to you and to his kingdom. Have you ever thought about the fact that God had plans for your entire life as he did with Dwight Eisenhower? He's had plans for your entire life, from the time you were a little child to right now, today. But the best part is he's got plans for tomorrow, too. For you. For me. He had those plans from the very beginning. He had your life all planned out. Has today planned for. And he even has plans for everything leading up to the last minute of your life. He knows where you will be and what you will be doing when your frail heart beats for the last time. This passage that I read in Jeremiah doesn't tell us that God knew what his plan was for you. It does tell us that God knew what his plan is for you from before you were ever conceived. He has a plan for you. I want you to know that this morning. Things are not happening by accident. It is God working in your life. God doesn't have accidents. God has plans. Now, we can't change the past. There's nothing we can do about that. We can only repent or apologize for the wrong things that we may have done. We have opportunity to make this day different by exercising God's will, by fulfilling his plan for you today. But what about tomorrow? Where are you in God's plan? Or are you even in his plan? Are you on the path that he laid out for you? Or have you gotten off the trail someplace? And we talked this morning about the devil wanting to lead us away from God's will and intervene in our lives to make us unsuccessful. I thought it was interesting that as we were watching David Jeremiah this morning, that he was dealing with Job and Satan's influence on Job's life. Job hadn't done anything wrong. Job was being just as good a person as he could be. He loved God. He trusted God. He believed. And yet all these things happened to him. He lost his entire family. He lost all of his wealth. He lost everything. And yet, he was still willing to trust God with what was left of his life. God wants us to be to have the kind of relationship that lets us call upon God for our needs and to be in a place spiritually where he can answer us according to his will. Many Christians forget that if we're moving outside of God's will, we are moving in sin. If we are outside of God's will, we are moving in sin. Let me read a verse for you. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. This is Proverbs 21, 2 through 4. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. He's wondering why we're doing what we're doing. He's not wondering, he knows. Verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. He'd rather have us doing his will and coming back and having to repent and ask for forgiveness. Verse 4. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The Lord tells us that even plowing can be sin. How could that be sin? Because it's not necessarily God's will. And so if we are not doing what God's will is for us right now, we are sinning. We are living in sin. And we need to move where we are, where God wants us to be. You know that I have shared verse out of Psalms 66:18 many times. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So how many Christians spend years, months, days, hours in prayer that God does not hear because they are not where God wants them to be? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear me. And if I'm not where God wants me to be, he will not hear me. So as you can see, many prayers are not heard by God, even though they're sincere, they're fervent. But the person themselves is not where they're supposed to be. People get used to God seemingly not answering their prayer quickly, thinking that God is just needs a little more time, but they don't realize he's not answering them because he never heard. If you read the book of Revelation, there's several places where it talks about God collecting the prayers of the saints as an offering of a sweet smell to him, as a sacrifice. And time we spend in prayer is a sacrifice. That's why we've got the sign-up sheet out here. What we're doing, you folks were out of town, we are trying to pray around the clock on Mondays. And so there are half-hour segments for you to sign up on. And if you want to sign up for more than one segment, that's fine. If you want to sign up for an hour at a time, that's fine. There's plenty to pray about. And so we're trying to pray around the clock on Mondays right now. If we begin to see fruit from this, then we're going to start doing this every day. Because I believe that God wants to use us. And he has a purpose for each one of us. And the only way we're going to find it out is from him. Now let's look at this passage in Jeremiah just a little closer. God is speaking to Jeremiah about what we might expect from God. Have you ever been someplace that was completely new to you? A place you'd heard about it, but you didn't really know what went on there? You didn't know what all the details might be? Well, with God, we've been told in his word that what to expect with him, and so we have certain expectations. Have you ever expected to get a gift of some kind from someone you knew, maybe a mate, and then the gift didn't come? And you were disappointed, but you didn't want to show the disappointment. So you didn't show. You didn't share. God's not like that. God has told us in his word what to expect if we are in the place he wants us to be. God has told us what to expect if we are doing the things he wants us to do. God has told us what to expect if we are obedient to his word. From the foundation or creation of the world and man, it's never been God's intention to hide from us. Talked about hiding, you know, Adam and Eve hiding from God because they'd sinned. It has never, ever been God's intention to hide from us. If we can't find God, it's because we're in the wrong place. That's it. God's not in the wrong place. God can't be in the wrong place. God is God. And we have to realize that if we don't feel close to him, if we don't feel like he's a part of our life moment by moment, then we are in the wrong place. Not necessarily physically, but it could be, but spiritually, we're definitely in the wrong place. And so that's what we need to understand is God has a purpose for us, but to be in that purpose or to fulfill that purpose, we have to be in the right place physically, not necessarily geographically. Nobody has to leave North Charleston. Okay? God wants you here, obviously. If we meet God's requirements for sinlessness, either through confession or practice, and we can do it either way, if each time we sin, if we confess to him immediately and repent, then that settles that, or we simply don't sin, and we seek to find God, we will find him, because he wants to have fellowship with all of us. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to be a part of your life. That's the reason that he planned from the very beginning, before any of us were ever born, before mankind ever existed, He planned for Jesus Christ to come to this earth in the fullness of time and die on Calvary. He planned that for you. He planned that for me, for everyone who lives upon the earth. And so many reject him. Can you imagine rejecting the God of the universe, the God who created all of us, and not doing what he wants? The problem is when we know that we're not where we're supposed to be spiritually. We know that God would not be happy with us because we have things in our lives that don't please him. And so for that reason, sometimes we're not always focused on God. We're not always doing the things he wants us to do. We're doing what we want. We're going the places we want to go. We're, in my case, eating the things I want to eat. Okay. But God has a place. God has a place for you. He's not going to hide from you. He's not going to try and hide from you. It's just the other way around. We hide from him because we know we're not where we're supposed to be. Now comes the part that I want you to get for the entire new year of 2021. It's verse 13 of Jeremiah 29. Verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Wow. With all your heart. When you will search for him with all your heart. And you say, "Lord, my life is yours. Use me, take me, move me. Do whatever you have to do." And here's the part that I want you to get. If you are not in fellowship with God, if you are not close to God, if you think God is far from you, then you're not seeking him with all your heart. Say that again. If you're not in fellowship with God, if you are not close to God, if you think God is far from you, then you're not seeking him with all your heart. Because if you seek anybody with all your heart, it's going to draw you to them. It's going to draw them to you. No one can help you but you. I can't help you. You're the one who's going to have to help. Because God gave the nation Israel, the nation of Judah, and all of us the same promise. If we seek him with all of our heart, he will be found. He will be found. He has made that promise, and it's a promise without condition. It's not like Romans 8:28, which you hear me use all the time, that if you love God and if you are called according to his purpose, all things will work together. That's not it. That's not what he's saying. If you will seek him with all your heart, he will be found. Has to be with all of our heart, not a little piece. Has to be all of our heart. A little piece won't work. A little piece means that much of our heart is still in the world, and that won't work. God only wants a person to seek him with all of their heart. To seek God with only part of the heart or half the heart, you will never be successful in his sight. God has a plan for you for the new year. He has a plan for you for this year. None of us know what's ahead of us this year. For some of us, maybe we should be glad, because it might not be something that we would choose. But we have the Romans 8:28, all things His plan includes everything that you will need to complete the plan. If you need to be an airline pilot, you'll wind up as one. That doesn't seem too likely as I look around. But whatever the need is going to be, God wants you to be successful, and He's going to provide it. You have a choice to follow God's plan or execute your own plans. With God's plan, you'll be successful. But with your plan, if you succeed in the world's by the world's standards, you will fail God's. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Whosoever loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in them. That's gospel. That's what we have to live with. Romans 14, verses 22 and 23. Hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And then the part that this verse is one of my favorites. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, talking about eating meat sacrificed to idols, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I have to keep asking myself as I go through life, Lord, do you want me to do this? And if there's any question, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, I don't want to sin. So I will not. Many times my wife has been telling me, well, I would like to go do this or go do that. And there comes time to do that, and she'll say to me, I don't feel like we're supposed to do that. There's nothing wrong with listening to God. It's not that we're being double-minded, as you talked about this morning, being unstable. A double-minded man, James tells us, just is unstable in all his ways. So we don't want to be unstable. That's not what God wants. God has a plan for you this year. God's plan has many parts, just like it did with Dwight Eisenhower. Who would have thought that scraped knee and his asking his brother Edward to prevent them from cutting that leg off could have had such, not dire consequences, but such a wonderful way for God to use him and accomplish what he did. But it was God. And it's the same thing with all of us. The thing we know now is that God has given us a talent. Each one of you has a talent. I don't know what it is. Some of you are great cooks, and I love to experience your talents. Some of you are great homekeepers. And I appreciate that our church can look clean and be clean and things. And each of you has a talent of some sort. If you'll use it for God, then you will be successful. And he will use you. Like I said, God's plan may have many parts. And it may, some of his plan may take you out of your comfort zone. I was out of my comfort zone here a little while ago. But at least try. At least try. At least make the effort. It'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you. Are you willing to follow God's plan and walk beside him? Or will you implement your own plan and fight God's will for you all year? I want to be on his side. I want to go through this life. I'm going to go through this year in the middle of his will. What's God's will for you this year? Whether you're in that or out of it, it's going to be your choice. Father, we are so grateful that you have given us your word. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us good counselors. Father, we are grateful for the way that you have provided an understanding and a knowledge of what your will is. Help us, Father, to experience your will in your way, in your time. And Father, help us to be successful exercising your plan for our life this year. Father, we will praise you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.